On Sunday, we talked about what it means to groan in the Spirit. How all of Advent and the Christmas season leads us to a place where we groan with the Holy Spirit, where we hear of God's promises, and we groan. And we've practiced this now twice, so we should be better at it. Kids, you know what it's like, and adults, when you're waiting for something, and you know it's coming, and you can't wait for it to arrive, and so you groan. Kids, think about two nights ago when you said, "Is it Christmas yet?" And your parents said, "No, not yet." And you went, "Ah." Right? We did this on Sunday and last night. Let's do this again. Groaning. Ah. Can you guys groan? All right, good. And you know what this is like? When I was pursuing Auntie Rachel for her to marry me, she wanted to marry me before I was ready to ask her to marry me. And Rachel was filled with a groan. Ah, I know this will happen. But waiting for those things to come to pass is hard. Can you guys groan with me one more time? Ah. And we talked last night and this week about the way in which groaning is different than grumbling. Groaning in the Spirit says, I know God will be faithful to His promises. And in the Spirit of God, I'm groaning in hope. Grumbling says, I don't think God is going to be faithful to His promises. Ah. And it's a giving up. The Iliad is a book all about grumbling. Last night we talked about hoping with the Holy Spirit, that the God of hope would fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we talked last night that just like groaning is different than grumbling, hoping in the Spirit is different than being optimistic. Being optimistic says everything's fine, even as the world around us burns down. Hoping in the Spirit says, things may not be fine, but I hope that God will make things right by the power of His Holy Spirit. And now today we're talking about rejoicing in the Spirit at the end of the gospel lesson that Dawson read. The shepherds go out rejoicing because of what they've witnessed. What is joy? What is this rejoicing? Aquinas, Thomas Aquinas, defines it simply for us. Joy is delight over good things that we currently have. And joy comes from God Himself. Joy in the triune life. God from the beginning. The Father delights in the Son. The Son takes joy in the Father. The Spirit is the mutual joy of the Father and the Son. We have joy in the garden before the fall. Adam is invited to enjoy the good things of the garden. And when we fall, that joy is troubled. Not only is our ability to presently enjoy things diminished, but also our ability to enjoy God's future with Him, to enjoy eternity with God, is foreclosed. Our ability to enjoy the present good is frustrated. And all throughout the Bible, God is moving to bring us into His joy. This is why Noah, when he gets out of the ark, he sacrifices and has a meal with Yahweh and then plants a garden, a vineyard, right, which is like a new Eden. And God gives him Sabbath joy and his son mocks his Sabbath rest. It's maybe a different reading than the one you grew up with, but I think it's the biblically accurate one. Sarah and Abraham are frustrated that maybe God has forgotten his promises. And then God re-enunciates his promises and Sarah laughs. Sarai laughs and her name changes and Isaac's name is joy or laughter. In Exodus, God brings the people out of bondage in Egypt, and when they come to the other side of the Red Sea, Miriam leads them in songs of rejoicing. God always brings us joy. It's not just sort of God in the abstract. Rejoicing is the work of the Spirit. There is no joy without the Spirit of God. God rejoices in His people. You hear this in places like in Isaiah, where He says, as a bridegroom rejoices over a bride, I will rejoice over you. You hear this in Psalm 126, when the Lord brought back the captives from Zion, then our mouths were filled with shouts of joyful laughter. Shouts of laughter. I know we're Anglican, and so our joy is often in the form of standing very still and singing in four-part harmony. But biblical joy is shouting and laughing and shaking spears. Psalm 126 finishes with, "And they will say among the nations, the Lord has done great things. The nations will rejoice." When Jesus shows up in John 2, he shows up to a wedding that has run out of wine. And he reveals himself. It doesn't happen to be this sort of happen chance miracle. He reveals himself in John 2 at the wedding in Cana precisely as the God who brings joy when we have run out. He shows up. Christmas joy is a part of the work that God does. Rejoicing is the work of the Spirit who brings to us both present goods and eternal goods, which we can experience in ever-increasing glory. And what happens in the incarnation is that our present goods and our eternal good become one. Our present goods and our eternal good becomes one. This is why Mary, when she hears that she's going to give birth to the Messiah, she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord," you know this, "and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." The angels break forth in songs of joy at his birth. The shepherds go to the manger with joy. The Spirit makes us joyful on this day, catching us up into the eternal love and joy of the triune God. Please hear this today. Whatever circumstances you come to church in, whatever circumstances you are currently in your white seats sitting in, just as hope isn't the same as blind optimism, so also joy is not the same as cheap happiness. Happiness and sadness are mutually exclusive emotions. I cannot be happy and sad at the same time. I can be joyful and sad at the same time. Joy endures both happiness and sadness because joy is confident that our circumstances cannot shake the eternal good that we get to enjoy in the present, which we have been given in Jesus. Our joy springs from the marvelous gift of the love of the Father in giving us the Son. In the marvelous love of the Son in giving us His life. In the marvelous love of the Son who gives us the Spirit without measure. In the marvelous love of the Spirit who gives Himself to us day in and day out. In a particularly dark season of my life, ministry life, this is not like a confession. I'm just in a really difficult season. Bishop Ken told me, "Mark, what are you so afraid of?" And I said, "Well, I'm afraid that I'm going to mess everything up and I'm going to lose my marriage and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's scary stuff." And, you know. And he said, "Mark, to the extent that you fear this, this is the extent that you are not living in the joy of the Spirit." And he said to me something marvelous. It sounds hyperbolic. He said, "Mark, I could be defrocked tomorrow. I could lose my entire family, my marriage, the home that I live in. I could end up in Colorado Springs in the winter with not even a shirt on my back," which is, to me, that is hell itself, right? Like, it's terrible. Cannot fathom that cold. And he said, "Though I would not be happy, I would remain joyful." And I said, "What are you talking about, Bishop?" He said, "None of those losses could shake the fact that my name is written on the hand of Jesus Christ." This is the joy that the Spirit brings. It is the joy that was manifest in our Lord Jesus, which Hebrews says, "He endured the cross for the joy that was set before Him." So we have to think about this. Jesus as the joyful man, rejoicing in the Spirit, is also Jesus on the cross, forsaken by the Father, closed off from the earth, shut off from heaven, saying, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" That is the joyful man, Jesus. Christ gives himself to us, and his mother lays him in a manger. Our word manger comes from the French word manger, which means to eat. Christ is born, and his mother lays him in a cattle stall, a feeding trough, a place where you eat. Christ comes to give himself for our life. This is joy. We come to the table of our Lord today. We partake in this moment in our present good of communing together in His church. And as we come to the Lord's table, we partake of the eternal good of Jesus' life given for us. When you come to this table today, you are assured of the joy of your salvation. That, as we say in the liturgy, that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. This is our lasting joy. And this is why when we come to the Lord's table, to this manger, to this manger, to this place to eat, we go out in the power of the Spirit, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. What does the Spirit do to us when we assemble like this? You guys know it, so I'll have you say it aloud with me. We go out from this place, from Christmas into the rest of the world, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.